Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Is it 9 or 10 or 10? Anvancha mana janani brihachalach. Toni parakra tagatik sumadhyama. Jovena visham sita kesha bandhana. Chyuta pasunam nugati pamarish. Again. Chuta prasuna nugatik paramrishat.
Chuta prasuna nugatik paramrishat.
Anvancha mana janani brihachalach.
Anvancha mana janani brihachalach.
Shroni bharat prantagatik sumadhyama.
Shroni bharat prantagatik sumadhyama.
Javena visram sita kesha bandhana.
Javena visram sita kesha bandhana.
Chyuta prasuna nugatik pramat. Chyuta prasuna nugatik paramrishat.
Chyuta prasuna nugatik paramrishat.
Brihat chalat shroni bara akranta gati.
Being overwhelmed by the weight of her large breasts.
Being overwhelmed by the weight of her large breasts.
She became tired.
She became tired.
And had to reduce her speed.
Sumadhyama.
Because of her thin waist.
Because
of her thin waist.
Jovena.
Because of going very fast.
Because of going very fast.
Visramsita kesha bandhana.
Visramsita kesha bandhana.
From her arrangement of hair.
From her arrangement of hair.
Which had become loosened.
Which had become loosened.
Chyuta prasuna anugati.
Chyuta prasuna anugati.
She was followed by the flowers falling after her.
She was followed by the flowers falling after her.
Paramrishat.
Paramrishat.
Finally captured Krishna without fail.
Finally captured Krishna without fail.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist, overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Purport. Yogis cannot capture Krishna. By severe penances and austerities, the Mother Yashoda, despite all obstacles, was finally able to catch Krishna without difficulty. This is the difference between a yogi and a bhakta. Yogis cannot enter even the effulgence of Krishna. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shu. Brahma Samhita. In that effulgence there are millions of universes, but yogis and jnanis cannot enter that effulgence even after many, many years of austerities. Whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. This is the example shown here by Mother Yashoda. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Yava nyaschasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyat va vishate tadanantaram. Bhaktas enter the planet, even the planet of Krishna, very easily. But the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna. Even if they enter Krishna's effulgence, they fall down. So the position of a devotee is very privileged, very fortunate. Everybody else cannot have Krishna. The jnanis are the most qualified. The jnanis and the yogis are the rarest souls. There are many intelligent people, and then even there are many university professors. Every big city has at least one university, although Mathura doesn't have one. It's one of the biggest cities in India that doesn't have a university. And there are many eminent scholars in all these educational institutions. Some of them are very learned, but they can't have Krishna. They are so qualified. They're heads above everybody else. What to speak of the yogis who have mystic powers that can actually control their minds and senses. Some of them can do very amazing feats. They can live without breathing, without eating. You can bury them under the ground and they still survive. So they're very powerful, very exceptional people. Even better than the jnanis in many ways. Jnanis are just theoreticians. The yogis can do something. But they can't have Krishna. Pantastu koti shatav. This is also Pramasamhita. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo. Fayur atapi manaso munipongavanam. The munis, the best of munis, best thinkers, the most smart people. Smart people are not the ones who shop at this store or that store, as they tell you in the advertisement. Smart shoppers. No, the real smart person, moody, real thoughtful person, is the one who's not interested in shopping for anything in the material world. And he's taken to the path of spiritual perfection, either in the form of jnana or karma, or maybe bhakti. That's a real moody, thoughtful person. And the muni pungavas, the bow among men among munis, means the best munis. The heroes among the munis, they're chasing after the absolute truth, which happens to actually be Krishna. But they can't have him. They're on the right path, and they're getting close. But they can't actually get their hands on him. So pyasti yat pratpatasim yavachintya tatve govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Prapada simni. Prapada is the front edge of your feet. Or in other words, where your toes are located. That part of the foot. Prapada, the forefoot. That's called forefoot. Anyways, the back of the foot, the front of the foot. The front of the foot, for most people, is where the toes are. And Krishna's got his toes in the front of his feet, and the yogis and the jnanis are almost able to touch, or actually not even touch, they're able to see from a distance some brilliant effulgence which happens to be the shine of his toenails. Yeah. And they're, wow, brilliant effulgence. And they're almost beginning to perceive Krishna, to actually get a glimpse of him. And that's it. They can barely discern the effulgence of his toenails. Not quite get their hands on him. Get close, but not quite close enough. That's the best that the jnanis and the yogis can do, even though the yogis are chasing after Krishna at the speed of the wind. With their prana, which they have gained control over by severe practice of pranayama, and dhyana, dharana, and dhyanam. They can control their prana, leave their body straight out the top of their head, and go to a high destination, or maybe not out the top of their head, maybe out of their mouth, if they're not the best yogis. So they're chasing after Krishna at the speed of the wind, the speed of the prana. Not fast enough. Krishna is a little faster than that. And the jnanis are chasing after him by their mental conjectures at the speed of the mind. The mind can carry you faster than the prana. In your dreams, you can travel from one end to the universe at night while you're dreaming. Your subtle body, well, the subtle body is actually propelled by the prana, so that's limited to the speed of prana. But the mind, by itself, can travel much faster. Not fast enough to catch Krishna. Krishna does not reveal himself. Naham prakashak sarvasya. Yogamaya samavita. He's got his protective field of yogamaya, which doesn't allow access to the gyanis and yogis. Even if they're getting close, that's when yogamaya is especially attentive to keep them out, when they're getting close. And all they see is a glaring effulgence. It blinds them. Hiranmayena patrena lokasyapahitam mukam tatvam pushana bhavrinu satya dharmaya trishtaye. Trishtaye, okay. That's drishtaye, it's just the word drishti. There's also a word drishtave, which is the dative infinitive from the Vedas, but that's not being used there. It does occur once or twice in the Bhagavatam. The dative infinitive, drishtave. Please, the Muni is praying. I'm blinded by your effulgence. Please remove it so I can see your face, basically is the statement. Let me see the Satya Dharma, your real nature. That is a fortunate Muni. This is the success of the Gyanya Yoga that Krishna was describing this morning in the verse in the chapter from the 11th canto. That when one, a Gyani, realizes that unless you beg Krishna to reveal himself, you're not going to find him. Then that is a success of his cultivation of knowledge. To realize that he doesn't know anything, and he can't know anything. And he just submits to the Lord, please remove your glaring effulgence and let me see your face. Then the Gyani can become, or the Gyana Yogi, or the Gyana Mishra Bhakta, can enter into pure devotional service and actually see and appreciate Krishna's face. And then he can take shelter at Krishna's feet, his lotus feet. As Prabhupada says in the purport, this is the difference between the yogis, what do you say, yogis and the bhaktas. They want to catch Krishna, but they can't even see his face. How are you going to, how do you even identify somebody if you don't know what his face looks like? If Krishna was out there in downtown Darwar, mingling with everybody else in the market, if you don't know what his face is supposed to look like, how would you identify him? Lord Brahma comes down and sprinkles his water from his kamandalu on the successful yogi. Okay, you've tried for 20,000 years. Now you can have Krishna, but you have to identify him. Do you know what he looks like? No, he's out there. He's walking in the market with everybody else. Can you identify him? If you can, you can have him. But the yogi who doesn't... above? You got him? Okay. The yogi who doesn't know Krishna then can't have him. If he doesn't know Krishna's personality, then all he can have is he can have the shine from the toenails. He can have the effulgence, but the rest of Krishna is inaccessible. So, talking about jnana, that's the jnana we have to have. We have to know what Krishna is. Yavan, he told Brahma, I'll tell you this, I'll reveal to you. Brahma, you're my friend. You're doing nice service for me. So in gratitude for your service, I will reveal to you the real knowledge that you need. You're worrying how you figure out how to engineer this universe. I can help you with that. But what you need is not to go to IIT and get a degree in engineering. Universal Engineering Department. You don't need to become, masters in universal engineering. I just have to reveal yavanaham yata bhavo yaguna karma rupa karma kaha tataiva tatva vijnanam astu me mada nugrahat. By my mercy, I will reveal to you what I am, what my extent is. what my bhavas are, what kind of ways I appear, and what in what modes I act, what I am, how much I am, and how I am. I'll tell you basically all this. Although nobody can know everything, all the details, but I'll tell you enough that you can do your job. You can do your service. So it's also scientific. Science is considered real science when it's quantifiable, when you can couch it in mathematics. Then it's considered real science. Therefore, the hard scientists, the chemists and physicists, look down on the social science, so-called social sciences, because they can't explain things mathematically. But Vishnu is telling Brahma, I'll even tell you the mathematics of it. Yavan, the measurements of me. I'll give you all the facts and figures. I'll put it down in formulas, and you can understand and describe it mathematically. Write it up in your journal, and everybody will be impressed that you actually are scientific. You have scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Tattva vijnanam. I'll give you the mathematics also. The mathematics is described in Isha Upanishad. 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. Om Purnamadat Purnamidam. Purnad Uchate. Purnasya Purnamadaya. This is transcendental algebra. Take one from one and you remain with one. Add one to one and it's still one. That's Purnam. The arithmetic of infinity. And there's other formulas too. Eko bahunam yovididati kaman. There are an infinitude of living entities, but there's one living entity who is the maintainer of all of them. That's more arithmetic. So that also is revealed to the devotee. Revealed. Yeah. Revealed by the person who is the object of worship and the source of all the necessities of life, including the knowledge we need. Knowledge is also a necessity. If you're going to live, you need some knowledge. Especially if you're going to live as a human being and not as a bare animal, just subsisting, just surviving. If you want to live a human life, you need knowledge. It's one of your needs. So a person goes to school not just to learn how to make money, supposedly, but also to learn a few things beside making money, because a human being needs higher knowledge. A human being has to be trained how to live like a human being, how to think like a human being. It doesn't come by instinct. It comes by education. But the education of materialists is one thing. The education of yogis is a different thing. Yogis go to their yogi gurukulas in the forest and practice exercises. You've been to yoga schools. They have a certain discipline. It's very elaborate, but it's different than what you learn here and what you learn in the university. Or if you go to a Gyani school, you'll learn differently. You have your nose in so many books, memorizing and reciting and analyzing and debating. The Gyanis have their education. And the Bhaktas have theirs. Practicing the loving service of Krishna. Practicing the service and association of Vaishnavas. This is our training. We do it rigorously, and vigorously. We are engaged in intense, constant practice, training. Just like athletes training to become successful in competition. They practice all day, every day. So we also, this is not a school, I don't mean just this, our little school, but I mean the school of ISKCON, the school of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, is not just a part-time school. It's full-time school, day and night. There's not even any vacations, 365 days a year. You can go off in the month of February, but I wouldn't advise to stop chanting your rounds. It's not that kind of vacation. you know, our actual education goes on. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, your whole life. And if you have to come back again, your next life also. Full-time, long-term training, because it's training for the highest thing. A Vaishya, a Shudra can be taught on the job. A Vaishya just has to learn a little bit of arithmetic and a few practical things. You could train him up in a few months. A Kshatriya, he needs to go to school for years, and he has to study the Shastras also. But a Brahmana takes half of his life, at least, to get trained up, to get properly educated. And a devotee, there's no end to it. You know, we're always, as long as we're still in this mortal world, we're still students. You never finish, you never graduated from the school of devotional service. That's what these purports are. These are our lessons. And there's no end to it. We will reach the end of this volume, the last chapters that Prabhupada wrote purports on. And we should go back to the first canto after that, because at least we should have one class a day where we're actually studying directly Prabhupada's words. I think we should go back to the first canto after finishing chapter 13. But we're going back. That's not the end. We just start again from the beginning. It goes around forever. This is what's the proper word? Parana or Parayana? The recitation. Parayana. Okay. That means you read Bhagavatam, the whole thing, from beginning to end, and then you read it again, and you keep on going around in a circle. You don't. It's not just once through and you're finished. In the Bhagavat Mahatmya, the Skanda Purana is described, there are different cycles you can go through. You can do a 7-day Bhagavat Saptaha. Let's see if I have this right. Lord Shiva. Yeah. He is empowered to control the material modes, especially he has the personal responsibility to exercise destruction in the mode of ignorance. But he felt incapable to fully use that power. He didn't feel that he had the power to actually destroy the whole universe. And he came to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and asked for help. You know, I'm deficient. What am I going to do? I can't do my job. I know when it comes time to destroy the whole universe, I won't be able to do it. Stage fright. So Lord Vishnu told him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead told him, you have to take the Srimad Bhagavatam and study it. This will give you the power to do your service. So Lord Shiva was specifically advised to read the whole Bhagavatam every week. And he does. And we're talking about, in this turn, it is the weeks of Brahma. So every week of Brahma, there's a partial annihilation. Something like that. That's what's described in the Skanda Purana. Lord Shiva reads the Bhagavatam for a week, and then he does some destroying. And then next week he reads it again, and at the end of the week he destroys again. But he's every week reading the Bhagavatam. This is the original Bhagavat Saptaha. And he's constantly every week doing it. It's Bhagavat Saptaha every week. That's Lord Shiva's program. And then Lord Vishnu came to Narayan and asked for help. How am I going to maintain everything? I don't feel adequate to do it. So Narayan gave Mahavishnu, the Bhagavatam, and said, you also recite constantly. And your wife can also do it. She can recite to you and you can recite to her. So the program for Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi is that Vishnu is constantly reciting for 1 month and his wife is listening. They take turns. For 1 month, he recites and she listens. And the Bhagavatam is finished in 1 month. Then she recites and she takes 2 months. She's a little more leisurely. She takes 2 months, and in 2 months they finish the whole Bhagavatam. And they do it back and forth, taking turns, constantly. And this gives Lord Vishnu the power to maintain everything. And Lord Brahma, he also came asking for some help to do his job. And Narayan gave him the Bhagavatam, and told him, you recite it constantly. Brahma does it once every year. So the Brahma version of the Bhagavad Parayana is finish it in 1 year. That's what we're about to finish, about 1 year's worth of Bhagavatam that we're doing in the morning. Constant. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's what gave Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva the power to do their jobs. It will give us the power to do ours. It's constant study of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the real basis of our education. We have our specialized study here, which is just a version of the general study program of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we have our little program here that we're trying. But both generally and specially, the center point of the training is our japa, our Harinam, Sankirtan, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can't neglect it. Don't neglect the study of the Bhagavatam in the name of grammar or anything else. Then you defeat the purpose for yourself. Our prime purpose is to immerse ourselves in Srimad Bhagavatam and then get some special training to promote the Srimad Bhagavatam. This book should be studied in depth and thoroughly and with full attention by serious people. Therefore, we should present it seriously. Then the world will be changed. And then we should keep in mind that's the purpose of all this. Why we're going through the headache to memorize these sutras and do everything else. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions? Yes, ma'am. This is the Bhagavad Mahatmya from the Vaishnava Kanda of the Skanda Purana, yes. There's a section called the Vaishnava Kanda, but it's only 4 chapters, and all it is that Bhagavad Mahatmya. Yeah. Skanda Purana is acknowledged that it does contain instructions, although it's first of all a Purana in the Tamoguna, but it does contain sections in which pure devotional service is discussed. There's 2. There's one in the beginning and one in the end. One of them is Padmapurana and the other one is the one I'm talking about. I don't know which one's in the back. There's one in the front and one in the back.
So it's there.
It's there, yeah. We also have a translation of it. Yeah, I can give it to you if you want. There's a couple of translations, but I did one. Yeah. Yes?
I was thinking about how to promote the Bhagavatam among common people and the devotees in general, because some devotees, they will be eager to study deeply and then they go to a school as we are doing. Mm-hmm. But those who are not able to do that, so then I had to think how to give them the Bhagavatam. And when I was in Brazil, I had a few months and I visited many places, giving 1 week seminar about the 10 topics, just with the idea of giving them inspiration to study the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
And now Pushatraya Maharaj and Chandramukha Maharaj, they did one Bhagavad Sattaha, reading all the translations of the Bhagavatam in 1 week. So things like that to try to motivate devotees to read Bhagavatam. But at the same time, Prabhupada was not encouraging Bhagavata Sattaha because of the style that people do in India and the motivation is not good. So,
yes.
So what was the fear of Srila Prabhupada? What was he trying to avoid? And how could we do?
It was a personal thing. His own. He just personally doesn't like the idea of the format of Bhagavata Sattaha. Mm-hmm. He didn't like the way people do it. Didn't like, you know, the way, just the materialistic way it's performed. So he preferred not. I think he may have once or twice participated in Bhagavad Sattaha, but he didn't like to. Now, you know, now devotees are doing it for preaching. So I don't want to, you know, condemn it if it results in successful preaching. You know, you can do anything. You can do unusual things if you do them carefully and properly. Then it's okay. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like harmonium music. He didn't like harmoniums in kirtan.
Harmonium?
Harmonium, yeah. So Prabhupada also, in obedience with that, gave us the instruction that we can have harmoniums in bhajans, but not in kirtan. So, but the thing is, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't like harmoniums, and Prabhupada was trained up as a harmonium player from his childhood. So Prabhupada did play the harmonium, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't. It's personal taste. So Prabhupada doesn't like so much Bhagavad Saptana. But even somebody can, in the service of Prabhupada, you know, use a Bhagavad Saptana in Prabhupada's service, even though Prabhupada himself wouldn't want to be there. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati doesn't want to hear the harmonium, but his disciple uses the harmonium in his service. Yeah. It's you know, individuality. You can serve your guru doing things that he wouldn't do, but you're doing it because he wants you to do it. He wouldn't do it himself, but he wants you to do it.
Okay.
So whether we should go out and have a Bhagavad Saptana, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to participate in myself, but I'm not going to condemn someone else for doing it. Sure. Something else? Okay, thanks. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.